This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Key quarterback and wide receiver depth charts here. Plus, Ramondre Stevenson, new fresh contract from New England. I am Chad Parsons. How about finishing off the week with some news? The news here, I know it's a dry season, but we still have data points that are in flux here affecting your dynasty team. So let's get right to it. First off, we got the New England Patriots. Bailey Zappe maybe coming to a close there with New England. Joe Milton performed well during spring practices. Obviously, a lot up in the air. Let's not assume that Joe Milton is a lock for that roster. But you figure, hey, he's a new fresh face. Bailey Zappe, he's played quite a bit, or at least in terms of a day three guy that has had some opportunities. The Patriots should know to some extent what they have there. A couple of reminders here. First about Joe Milton. First of all, I think a lot of people overestimate what his rushing upside is. There's a couple clips of him running in college. However, there at Tennessee, Joe Milton, just a 5% scramble rate and only a 10% scramble rate when under pressure. Both of those are well below average there. And despite the fact that he's a big guy, a lot of people, and myself included, I thought there was some potential that he could be an Anthony Richardson-like riser going into the NFL draft process. That did not occur in 2023. He did not, you know, spike the ball in terms of his career and finishing on a high note here. So while he has a big arm, 6'5", 245, and you know, an athletic possibility, his rushing score of 24% clearly in my projection model does not point to a player from high school to college and now projecting to the pro as having big time rushing upside. And when you talk about someone that has a high variance outcome, someone that has really not shown strong passing play so far in their NFL preparatory lifestyle, lifeline here, football wise, that's pretty concerning for Joe Milton. So, but I will say if he can't beat out Bailey Zappe, then that's pretty much going to drive a stake, you know, in the should you have Joe Milton on a dynasty roster outside of some deeper taxi designation there. So that's going to be something key in August we watch for. And of these ancillary, you know, secondary market sort of guys, not the overt, you know, top 25, 30, 35 rookies, let's say, that you've been drafting in rookie drafts, I would say Joe Milton is on one of those lists that we're going to get to see him play a lot, you know, a lot in the second half of some of these preseason games. And that's going to be key because, frankly, he's going to be one that's on ice and we're not going to see him or shouldn't see him much during the regular season here in 2024. So that's a key depth chart and a key news item, again, that we should know Bailey Zappe versus Joe Milton. Obviously, Joe Milton, the new name. Bailey Zappe probably not rostered all that much in Dynasty or shouldn't be. Coming out of Cleveland here, also on the quarterback front, Deshaun Watson had a schedule with his shoulder in terms of a recovery from surgery, according to the general manager, Andrew Berry. A couple points here. Jameis Winston should be a highly valued super flex player. We rostered him all the way back from a couple different stops ago. He was in the Saints for a while, and I actually really wanted to see him play with the Saints because one of the things is Derek Carr, where's the ceiling? Is he lifting the lid on this offense? The answer to that was no. Jameis Winston finds another good backup spot, very savvy for him, to go to Cleveland as Deshaun Watson. And if you heard on Under the Helmet in recent shows, Dr. Jesse Morse was on talking about how Deshaun Watson's shoulder really isn't going to be right going forward, period. Now, it doesn't mean he can't adapt. It doesn't mean he can't adjust his throwing motion to some degree. And it doesn't mean that he's going to be someone that can't be very fantasy relevant and productive. But what it does mean is you're going to hold your breath a little more than you would with other quarterbacks when he gets grabbed and thrown down or tackled and driven to the ground, especially on that shoulder. And so that's a real concern here. And if you were making probability bets on what starters are most likely to miss some element of games, Deshaun Watson would be one of the higher guys on the list. And the reason for that is also he doesn't run safely. He runs like a running back. He gets tackled in a legitimate fashion, not sliding, not going out of bounds enough, as you would think a quarterback that should be wary about his health, that should be wary about his shoulder, and just move on to the next play. This is not, third down in the second half of a playoff game for the Cleveland Browns. This is just, run-of-the-mill games in September, October, and he's running with that same, in my opinion, reckless style. So this is one of the backup situations with Jameis Winston that is absolutely one. We saw Joe Flacco be successful a year ago, and Jameis Winston's one that has had monster fantasy productive seasons here in terms of yardage and plenty of touchdowns, and certainly has the weapons in Cleveland to do so again. On the running back front, Ramondre Stevenson, big four-year contract extension with plenty of money up front, some guarantees. One thing I will say about this is Ramondre Stevenson, a sneaky 26.6 years old, and one that I'm a little surprised by this in terms of the Patriots doing it. I know, retain your own, and they had the money to do it. They're now restarted on a rookie quarterback contract, and they didn't have big money invested in the veteran, in Jacoby Brissett on the contract, on the depth chart either. However, two things I would point out. Antonio Gibson, if he does one thing really well, it's a receiver. He played that basically at Memphis. And he was given a decent contract as well. Not as big as Ramondre Stevenson, of course, just now, but Gibson was brought in and provides that element. The other thing, and again, I'm going to give a couple snapshot bullet points here, but I recorded a whole show earlier last week when Ramondre Stevenson was signed, and doing a future cast on him, if you're unfamiliar with that, it basically breaks down what is his UTH valuation going to be in rankings, what's it going to be in the UTH trade calculator if he has, a running back one season this year, a running back two season, a running back three plus season, what's that going to look like when we basically accelerate ahead to next off season? And the surprising thing, or maybe unsurprisingly, but his value didn't change a whole lot. Like, even if he has a top 12 season, it would be a career year for Stevenson. Because he's 26 going on 27 for next off season, that really is a limiting element. So I think from a dynasty perspective, again, if you want to boost him for redraft and say this is really good news for what his market share is going to be this year, fine. But I would say dynasty wise, just know he's essentially a declining asset at a position that you really do want to be careful with the price you pay. Now, one other thing is he's really not being traded for first. So that's not really in play. If you are to get a first, it's going to have to be with a torrid start to the season, a top 12 looking season. And it is on an offense that isn't projected to be very good unless we get a big time outcome out of Drake May, probably specifically. So with Ramondre Stevenson, just know that second or second plus or second, and then maybe you shift to even getting a second round pick plus a backup that you think has big upside if the starter goes out. That might be your best scenario of Stevenson for a return, unless you're including him as a third or fourth piece to get some massive player at a more premium spot like quarterback or a stud tight end in full tight end premium of 2 PPR or start 2. Rashee Rice, it could be facing a multi-game suspension. We've been hearing this throughout the offseason. That was reported this week by Adam Schefter. Feels like I would say yet again in terms of the reporting. And it says it doesn't look like he's going to be a part of the start of the season. And the team is, quote unquote, bracing for the wide receiver to miss multiple games. I would say there's a couple different things here. First of all, the Rashee Rice discount, we've already seen that to some degree in the market. And then the other one would be if you haven't got the deal to buy Rashee Rice, again, quality profile, a guy that got off to a good career start as a rookie last year when they didn't have a whole lot beyond Travis Kelce. And frankly, Travis Kelce was playing through injury and left a lot to be desired for most of the season there. But I would say for Rashee Rice, when or if a suspension is announced, that's another opportunity once we have a clarification of how much time he will miss and that he will miss time. whether that's in 24 or 25, that would be the opportunity or the next window to potentially buy him. If I have yet to have my rookie draft, I would throw out my later second round pick, adding to that if I needed to. But I think that's a decent starting point to send an offer and possibly get it accepted. The other ancillary point on this is that we have Xavier Worthy, who, again, it's not going to take much for him to really spike in value. A big play early in the season, a long touchdown, just showing that vibrant speed. And again, a lot of people want to say, oh, you know, if you're a fast wide receiver, you're destined to fail. Look at all these guys that have been big combine workout guys and not panned out. And the biggest difference between Worthy and those guys is almost none of them, and why the DeSean Jackson comp actually works to some degree, or Brandon Cooks or those types of guys, is because Xavier Worthy was productive. He was an 18-year-old phenom in college. He was overall productive. So he also got round one pedigree. So you put all those things together and you should feel a lot more comfortable with Xavier Worthy than some of those boom bust guys that really didn't produce much in college and then didn't produce in the pros. That's more of the connection than saying, well, if you run a 4.2, you can't be productive in the NFL. No, you'd love 4.2 attached to a wide receiver that has shown with that athleticism to be productive at the collegiate level, which provides more safety in addition to being a first round pick, in addition to being a trade up target by one of the bigger OC and coordinators of an offense in Andy Reid and designers of an offense in the NFL, in addition to being paired with Patrick Mahomes. So that is a very unique and special situation overall for Xavier Worthy. And if Rashee Rice were out, that would fuel Marquise Brown plus Xavier Worthy with bigger opportunities earlier in the season to see a few more targets, a few more chances to spike and ultimately be more productive players right away for us on our dynasty teams.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Other wide receiver news, we have the Colts, A.D. Mitchell, getting open a lot, according to Anthony Richardson, and coming out of the Colts camp. I would look at it this way. I know A.D. Mitchell is being drafted relatively high, especially for being a second-round NFL draft pick, which you need to be wary of. And he's one that, fell in the draft. Number two, really doesn't have the efficiency coming out of college that you would like to be an ideal guy if you were to target someone with that price point, with that level or lack thereof of NFL draft pedigree. But really, in terms of helping and enhancing this offense, and I think that's job one for A.D. Mitchell, he just needs to provide the element they thought they were getting from Alec Pierce, which is that deeper element. Alec Pierce had a lot of contested plays that he did not make. He also had some uncontested plays that he did not make. And so for this offense, you got Michael Pittman underneath. He's going to be the volume guy. They've got a myriad of tight ends. They've also got the running game with Richardson and Jonathan Taylor, but I would say the missing link there would be the deep ball. Can you just provide some sporadic threat and impact there from the perimeter? And that's what they're hoping for out of A.D. Mitchell. So before, again, it's like walk before you run. Before A.D. Mitchell is someone that we ultimately, you know, could care about, I think he just needs to provide that element of at least being a threat and at least helping open up this offense through the vertical game more so than being someone that turns into a viable weekly play. Houston Texans, Nico Collins said he hopes to finish with at least 1,500 yards this season. I would say good on Nico Collins in terms of, you know, when you're good, you want to be great. When you're great, you want to set high bars to improve even more. And the way you get to 1,500 plus receiving yards is someone like Nico Collins' profile, where he's proven on a per route basis that he can be elite. Over 3 yards per route run last year. And when you start thinking about routes per game and what you kind of need to get 1,500 yards, yeah, you need to break some big plays. So you probably need to be on an explosive offense. You probably need to get targets down the field. So you're check on both of those. And then you need to optimize it on a per route basis. Nico Collins already proved that to an elite level last year. So if you follow the premise of it's going to be more Tank Dell versus Stephon Diggs, in this rotation, and Nico Collins's role is safe and insulated there as the wide receiver one and the X and all of these things and a perimeter option, then this is fully in play for Nico Collins. So love the proclamation. And again, he's the type of profile that can actually execute and achieve this. Finally, at wide receiver, we've got free agent Michael Thomas. Has not seen a lot of interest overall. A lot of people, like I've actually dropped him in a couple leagues. It kind of feels dirty because he's such a big name, but it's been so long since he's been productive. It's been so long since he's been healthy for long. And it's just, he also was someone, if you rewind to his heyday, it's not like he had a lot of athleticism to lose. He was a body up guy, contested guy, inside of 15 guy. And if everything just becomes tougher, all of a sudden you lose 10%. And frankly, he's probably lost more than 10%. Then it just becomes diabolically difficult. And it seems like the Steelers, who have a hole, you could say wide receiver 2+ is a major, major question mark for them. And they're not even interested in kicking the tires on Michael Thomas heading into July and August. So I think that's a little telling here. Not that I would bail on him at all formats, but I do think if you're in like 28 man with super flex and tight end premium and or shallower than that in stock, it's really tough to validate a Michael Thomas dynasty roster spot right now. Finishing out, got one big news item here at the tight end position, and that is with the Los Angeles Rams. We have Tyler Higbee, you know, is probably going to be on the PUP list and expected to be during training camp. Again, he's in question to miss the regular part of the regular season, where he had multiple knee ligaments torn and in recovery process at present. So this is wide open when you say that how much time could Tyler Higbee miss? Is this something where he's good by midseason? Is this something where it ends up derailing in a real sense most of this year? And when you look at what the Rams did by bringing Colby Parkinson on a meaningful contract, a 3-year deal over $20 million, Colby Parkinson, a guy that really pushed his way, elbowed his way to more of a tight end by committee with Noah Fant and others there in Seattle. This is a golden opportunity for Colby Parkinson to be the starting tight end with the Rams. And so for Parkinson, he's out there a little bit. If you've got questions at tight end and in a start one and you pick him up, he should be auto rostered in tight end premium formats this time of year. So He's definitely a name that you should be hearing about more and more as we go through, and especially once Higbee is actually put on, let's say, the PUP list to start the regular season. And someone that, you know, week one, don't be surprised if Parkinson sees four or five targets. He ends up being one of those ads and redraft leagues. And don't be surprised at if by that point he's not available in any dynasty formats. So he still is out there a little bit. And this is one where you want to have as many shots going into August and September as possible. And with any sort of premium, any sort of depth, Parkinson does make a lot of sense. Finally, I wanted to add a little preview and a little taste of a series that I have going on UTH Patreon. That's patreon.com/UTH right now. I call it the High Impact Series, and I do this every single year where I do a long form conversation, essentially with 3 to 5 or 8 minute shows. And I go off basically responses on Twitter or from my VIP chat where I ask dynasty owners, what's your biggest weakness? And I collate that into categories and I discuss those about what you can do about it, how you can potentially band-aid that, and also how you can use that to actually improve your dynasty toolbox. So I wanted to go over one of those. And again, there's going to be dozens in there for all of these premium shows. But I wanted to go over one as a little preview here for the main Under the Helmet show here. And one of them, in terms of team building, is someone said, not drafting players that have burned me in the past. And this is a very personalized one, because that phrase can be something different to everybody. Fortunately for me, I have such a poor memory. I couldn't even tell you semifinals last year or the finals in 2022 or whatever it is. I couldn't tell you one specific guy where I looked back and, oh man, they dropped a touchdown and, you know, they had some golden opportunity. They put up 3 points and I lost by 7. I can't remember stories like that in terms of being scorned by a certain fantasy player in my lineup or anything of that ilk. Plenty of people can, and they can say, hey, I lost my home league 2 years in a row. It's because of you. Insert, you know, Russell Wilson or Allen Robinson or, you know, whoever it was. And so I would say this. So if you are one of those types that you remember, you hold on, you hold a grudge, that remember that, number one, this is a game of oblong bounces, that the ball is not circular. The game is not fair. The bounces are not fair. And we're dealing with, generally speaking, when you compare it to, say, basketball, baseball, it's almost a little more like hockey, where it's a small sample size game in terms of scoring opportunities. I mean, touchdowns mean so much comparative to the other singular plays of scoring import for fantasy players and for NFL teams, frankly. And so you're dealing with a small sample size of A, games. B, for most positions, I mean, quarterback has the most when we look at number of throws, like, and especially they're going to aggregate, 400, 500, 600 plus throws in a season. And you do that, like the veteran quarterbacks, we have a very good sense of who is good and who is not, for example. But I would say cut some players some slack, especially if their sample size career-wise is they are a good player. And now, you come into this year of a startup draft, or you come into this year in terms of your redraft teams, and you're not open to the value that they present because of some microcosm view that you have of them from last year in the playoffs or 2 years ago, they were at a different price point last year and they burned you. You spent a third round pick. Well, this year they might be an eighth round pick in your redraft. So I would say really have a balanced view of them. And if you are, having some awareness here, if you are dinging them unnecessarily so, and it's based on some storyboard like that, really assess, because to some degree, I do say that in fantasy, the whole point is you should enjoy your team. You should have players that you would want to root for. I would say the other more pragmatic, and this is where I lie, and this is where a lot of my co-hosts and people that I record with on a regular basis reside, which is we're also in it to win and, you know, do well, perform, ROI, make money, in addition to enjoying it. And a lot more people enjoy doing well, I would say, than doing poorly, even if you did it with, well, I love the Steelers and I have four Steelers on my fantasy team. Well, you may like them a little less if you're 1-5 on your fantasy team, but you have all your favorite players, is what I would say. So really kind of soul search on, if you are avoiding guys, is it for one of these reasons? Is it because of a super small sample size that you're plucking away from your memory and from their game log and saying, this is the reason? Assess them just on broad value, whether that's in a dynasty sense of, here's what it costs to, and I would say the opportunity cost of owning them, because we have optionality to trade them away. We have optionality to see what's out there and pivot in the marketplace, even if no one's coming to you directly and offering you for the player. You can go out there and hunt and find something different as well anytime that trading period is open. So that's how I would talk through, again, not drafting players in general that have burned you in the past. It's tricky. It's fickle. I understand. And holding that, especially if you've lost a couple key semifinal or final matchups a year ago or at some point, and you dial it to that specific player with a tractor beam and the heat of 1,000 suns in your eyes ire, I get it. But just know that's one game. That's a collection of routes or passes or carries or getting stuffed to the 1 yard line a couple times or anything like that. That is a very small fraction of their career, the profile they have built. And it resets. It's a whole new environment as they roll out the ball this year. So just keep that in mind, because I would say, going back to one phrase I said, is you have, a lot of people will have more fun in your fantasy and dynasty leagues. If you're winning, you're beating your league mates, you're beating your friends, you're performing well, you're making the playoffs, you're making a run. And that's, if you have to have a different player on your team as opposed to your favorite player or someone that burned you in the past, they may be the linchpin for you getting over the hump this year. I'm Chad Parsons. Thank you so much for listening. Back to guests as we go Monday through Friday this coming week. Got some great guests lined up. Just as a point of reference, some of those guests we have are Shane is the worst over there. We did rapid fire coming up. That'll be on Monday. It's basically a double episode, so extra long version with him. We talk so many different things like dynasty formats. And actually, one critical question at the end I asked him, which is, how much money would it take for him to give up all things NFL, dynasty, fantasy related? And we get into a good conversation, kind of added a few minutes at the end of the show that turned out to be just content gold there. So make sure you stay tuned on Monday for Shane is the Worst. On Tuesday, got to talk with someone across the pond about Trey Lance, Rashee Rice, Cooper Kupp, and a few others. International NFL following with Rich Cooling. On Wednesday, I got Andrew Hall in for a rapid fire episode. We talk about his Rate My League podcast, as well as a few key other discussions in Dynasty. How about Anand Nanduri? Got to meet him for the first time. I talked about some of his sweet spots with the Rams, Ohio State coverage, and also his experience as an NFL salary cap analyst. And then finally, on Friday, got Will FF coming up. We talked about Packers passing game, Christian McCaffrey, some of his bigger dynasty rankings and valuations out there, including McCaffrey, Dak Prescott, and Marvin Harrison Jr., specifically in redraft. So getting some good thoughts for him, and got big recording sessions this week, obviously, to set the table as we barrel into July. What off season is what I would say as we are prepping and getting ready for week one. I'm Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.